Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this is our last session, as you know, and it's going to be short because we have Salat and we can't run very much over time. But we have a very interesting topic tonight, and that is mystical interpretation. And I hope we had more time to discuss on this issue of interpretation of the Quran by a mystical insight. Of course, people would take this would take this in many different ways, and sometimes interpretation of the Quran would become like just arbitrary ta'wil, giving different meanings which have no relation to the verses of the Quran. By mystical interpretation, of course, I don't mean that type of interpretation, giving sort of subjective meaning to the verses of the Quran at the will of some mystic, or giving a type of meaning to the verse which is not at all attached or is not related to that verse at all. We have many mystical interpretations written actually during the history. We have a very famous Tafsir al-Sulami, which of course we can cite some examples of how he interprets. For example, in the verse in which Musa tells his people that you have to kill yourself because you have done something wrong by worshipping the edge in the court. Then he says, for example, it means that you have to kill the desires of your soul. Faqtulu anfusakum means faqtulu ahwa anfusakum, for example, which is not very much related to the history at all. By mystical interpretation also we don't mean interpretations which are actually taken from some other ideology and given to the verses of the Quran. You find this in Ismaili interpretation of the Quran very much. And that is, say for example, in Asas al-Ta'wil of Qadi Nu'man al-Masri, the Egyptian, a very great scholar, the greatest Ismaili scholar of all history, Qadi Nu'man al-Masri. He has a book, Asas al-Ta'wil, the foundation of interpretation, Ta'wil, of course, mystical interpretation of the Quran, so to speak. And he tries to give a type of Ismaili meaning, Ismaili ideology as seven imams, then seven type of eras of history to all verses of the Quran. So if, for example, he mentions the story of Nuh, he says, okay, this is again a symbol of that seven eras, seven imams, and all these issues, which is not related at all. So I don't mean this type of interpretation. What I mean by mystical interpretation, I mean a type of insightful look at the verses of the Quran to see what meanings you could get from a deeper look at these verses. We have parables in the Quran. For example, we have in Surah An-Nur, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, God is the light of the heavens and the earth. And then it says the parable or the example of his light, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ. When I say he is the light, like what? مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاهٌ. It's like a niche in which there is a lamp. Okay, this could be given many different meanings. I mean, if we recite the verse up to the end, it could be given many, many different meanings. Now, since it's a masal, it is something that would allow one to bring closer to our mind a meaning about himself. Then if you look into it with deep insight, you might find lots of meanings in it. Actually, I wrote a book, this Niche of Light, the Niche of Light, that's the Mishkat, of course, Mishkat al-Anwar of Ghazali. It's all a mystical interpretation of this verse. This is a very nice book if you want to read. It gives you lots of insights about the verse and about Ghazali, of course, because Ghazali is known as an Ash'arite type of theologian, but if you look into this book, Ghazali is someone who believes in Wahdatul Wujud, who believes in all those deep mystical understandings of the Quran, of the creation, of very different from the Ghazali that you find in this, in other books of Ghazali, of course. So it gives you an insight about Ghazali himself and an insight about the verse. We might go through it if you have time a little bit. But there is an idea which is mentioned in Allama Tabatabai's Al-Mizan. And he says, of course, you find some verses of the Quran giving you masal, parables, examples. And he says, you have to take all verses of the Quran to be examples. When Allah mentions something, it is actually an allegory. It wants to bring to your mind a deeper meaning, and you have to find that deeper meaning which is completely congruent, conforming with the apparent meaning, not against it. All those mystical interpretations which actually would raise objections is when the deeper meaning does not conform with the apparent meaning. Now Ghazali here, of course, in his book, he insists, when I give a deeper meaning of a verse, you have to have in mind that the apparent meaning doesn't go away. It is there. The apparent meaning holds. The literal meaning holds. The deeper meaning holds as well. Different levels of understanding, actually. And this is what we have in many verses, that the Quran has deeper layer, batn. إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لَهُ بَطْنٌ وَلِبَطْنِهِ بَطْنٌ. And that deeper layer of meaning has another deeper layer of meaning. Okay, I want to give you one example tonight, and if we have time, we go to this niche of light, the niche of light of Ghazali, to see how he actually goes about that verse of light. Now, let us look at, of course, these three beginning slides, you don't have it there. The slides, unfortunately, I added this later on, I didn't print it out. You don't have this one. Now, look at this verse in Surah Yasin. Inna ja'alna fi a'naqihim aghlalan fahiya ila al-azqani fahum muqmahoon. Waja'alna min bayni aydihim saddan wa min khalfihim saddan fa'aghshaynahum. Surely we have placed chains on their necks, and these reach up to their chins, so they have their heads raised aloft. And we have made before them a barrier, and a barrier behind them. Then we have covered them over so that they do not see. What is this? This is talking about kuffar, those who do not believe. Okay. Now, of course, you go into the street, you don't see any chain on kuffar, do you? There's no chain. And their chins are not raised like this, so that they cannot, because these a ghul is that type of there was a wooden thing they used to put on the neck, and then the neck, the chin would have been raised up. They couldn't see what's in front of them. Allah gives the parable. You see, this is not a parable. Allah doesn't say this is a masal. But it is a masal, isn't it? It is a parable. It says actually, their example is like this. As if we have put one of those, what do you call it?
Yokes
on their necks. So their heads are raised up. Their chins, these yokes are on just beneath the chin. It raises it up. So they cannot see what's in front of them. They walk like this, and so they don't know where they are going. Okay. Not only that about kuffar, those who do not believe, not only they walk like this all the time, but still there is a barrier from before them, a barrier behind them. They cannot see anywhere. فَأَخْشَيْنَهَا. And then, again, just behind that barrier, we have covered them like inside a tent. They don't see anything. Now, they are not like this, isn't it? The kuffar, you go to the street, you don't see them. to walk like this. So this has a deeper meaning. You don't take this literally, do you? Never, no one would take this literally. I mean, even those very, very stringent mufassirun who say we have to understand Quran very literally, when Allah says, Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa, Allah is sits on the throne and there is a throne and he's sitting on it because this is what the Quran says, they never say that if you go to the street you see kuffar like this. It's not the case. So, there is a deeper meaning. That means that we have covered them from the light, which actually is shining light of Allah, but is shining everywhere. And they are as if they are walking with their heads upright up. They don't see in front of themselves what's going around them. They don't see what's going behind them, what's going before them, and so on and so forth. Now, suppose you have a verse like this about kuffar in Jahannam. What do you think about it? Don't you say that, well, when kuffar go in Jahannam, Allah puts yoke on their necks and their heads are always raised. Well, I mean, this is the first thing that comes to mind, isn't it? And if Allah says such a thing in the Quran, you say, certainly it's the same thing. Certainly it's the case. They have a yoke on their head, on their neck. And they, when they want to walk, they can't because there's a barrier in front of them, a barrier behind them, they are covered in Jahannam. Well, why not? Because it's the literal meaning. Why should we go for any other meaning? I mean, now, the good thing about Jahannam is that we can't see it now, so you can argue. But if such a thing said about people in this world, well, there's no suspicion, there's no doubt that a deeper meaning is meant by it, not the literal meaning. Now, let's look at these verses about Jahannam. Halaka anni sultaniya, my authority or my power is gone. This is Surah Haqqa. My is gone away from me. This is a person who is actually taken to Jahannam. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ سَلُّوهُ ثُمَّ فِي سَلْسَلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ. Lay hold on him, then put a chain on him, then cast him into the burning fire, then thrust him into a chain the length of which is 70 cubits. Do they really put chain on them? Now, you are now doubtful, isn't it? Because we had the other verse, it says that there are yokes, chains on kuffar in this world. Now we see people of Jahannam, they have chains. Is it the real material type of chain, or is it something else? Some other type of chain. The type of yoke, غُلُّوهُ, put it in a yoke. Now this غُل is of course that yoke which they put on the neck. Put him in a yoke. Is it a real yoke or a yoke as it is mentioned in Surah Yasin about kuffar in this world? Certainly there is doubt now. Because, I mean, we can go into the deeper explanation of that verse, we can come into a deeper explanation of this verse. What is this chain, the length of which is 70 cubits? Could it be the chain of their ambitions, the chain of their ignorance, and the chain of their everlasting, long, 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 arrogant type of ambitions that they had in this world? Now they are wrapped into it. Or is it really a chain? It might be both. Well, the least thing we can say is that it might be both. But, of course, we cannot deny that it might be the real material type of chain which is put on people in Jahannam. But we cannot deny the deeper meaning as well, that they are wrapped in their lengthy ambitions that they had, so that they cannot see God. Why they are put in that type of situation? Because إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. He did not believe in the great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want to, of course, this was just to somehow give a similitude between two types of verses. One verse which speaks about kuffar in this world, and one verse which speaks about kuffar in Jahannam. And you will see that if you cannot see the chain and the yoke in this world on kuffar, you might not be able to see it in Jahannam as well. You might not be in that chain and in that yoke. But there is something else. And now we have another verse which is very, very telling in this. It says, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. Anyone who is blind in this world is blind in the other world. And we know what type of blindness Quran is talking about in this world. Wouldn't it be the same blindness in the other world? They can see, of course. And that's why kuffar can see each other. When they go to Jahannam, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْدَهَا. Whenever a group of people enter, they curse the previous ones. You did it to us. They know each other, they curse each other. We have many verses in the Quran that mustakbirin and mustab'atin in Jahannam, they see each other, they talk, they argue, they dispute. They are not blind. So there is a type of blindness which is similar to the blindness in this world. Now, let's go to a very interesting mystical interpretation of hell and paradise. This is very interesting. It doesn't deny the material aspect of it. But it gives you a deeper insight into what happens in hell and in paradise, and why people go to hell and go to paradise. Why? What is the reason? Okay, this is taken from a very important book of Haja Nasiruddin al-Tusi. This is a bit of confusion there. Okay. Yeah. Reminder of the beginning and the end. Tadkiriya Aghaz wa Anjam. This is a Farsi book by Haji Nasiruddin Tusi. And interestingly enough, it's a very important mystical and philosophical book that Sadruddin Shirazi Mullah Sadra in his book Asfar al-Arba has actually translated long excerpts, long quotations from this book and has put it in Asfar. Because it's a very important book, Tazkariya Aghaz wa Anjam, by a reminder of the beginning and the end by Haji Nasiruddin. And Haji Nasiruddin, if you remember, was the one who actually wrote a commentary on Al-Isharat wa Tanbihat of Ibn Sina, the book that we just covered a little bit of it here. Now, he says that what is Ma'ad? Ma'ad is going back to the initial creation. By initial creation, he means this world. How we come to this world? In the same way we go back. It's a reverse type of process. We come, the creation spread, this is the initial creation, then we go back upwards. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ, isn't it? We have in the Quran. In the same way as He started to create you, from the same root you go back to your Lord. كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ. However, in this coming and going, there is the whole purpose of mankind being made, or where it is made, either for paradise or they go to hell. Of course, no one is made for hell. They would go to hell due to this process of coming and going. But everyone is made for there, but they can't go there before coming into this process. The way we have made the creation, as we have in Surah Waqa, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُولَىٰ. You have seen this initial creation, this first creation, Nash'atul Ula. فَلَوْ لَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Why you are not reminded, why you don't take heed, that you are going the same way back. If this is the world created by God, any other world is easy for him to make, whether the hereafter, whether barzakh or whatever. Now, he says, okay, how we are creating this world? Let's see. Now, he wants to say why some people go to hell, some people go to paradise. And this is a very interesting mystical interpretation of verses about hell and paradise. Now, in this life, what you are given first is existence, isn't it? We are created as nutfatan, thumma alaqatan, thumma mudghatan, ثم يخرجكم تفلا, then you come out as a تفلا. Now, first we are given existence. Then we are given knowledge and awareness. Even a baby, when we come to this world as a baby, gradually we have spies for the outside world, isn't it? What are our spies? Our eyes spying the things that could be seen. Our ears spies about things that could be heard. Our tongue spies about taste and what should be eaten, what shouldn't be eaten. Okay, we have a spies for the soul. This is a very nice expression of mystics. They say that your senses are spies of your soul. Your soul cannot know what's going on except through these senses. Okay, so you are given the knowledge and awareness. Allahu akhrajakum من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا. When God brought you out to this world from your mother's womb, you didn't know anything whatsoever. وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة. Then you were given eyes, ears, and أفئدة, that soul which actually catches all these are working for him, for that soul. Okay. So then we are given knowledge and awareness. Then, of course, we are given power. Initially, you have no power whatsoever. Gradually, you can walk towards what you want. Okay, so this is power you are given. You can shout or cry for what you want. You are given power. And when you become stronger and stronger, grow up, your power would increase. This is the way you are created. And will, of course, the most important part of human beings, will, what we want. We want something, first of all we have to know it, then we are given power to obtain it, and when we will something, of course we go and we get it. Now, he says, to go to God, you have to somehow move back on this track. First of all, you have to put aside your will. Now, of course, not at the beginning, for several years you grow like this. You have existence, you have knowledge, you have power, you have will, you move towards that, but gradually God wants you to go to the opposite direction. He has created you like this. That you have to have power, will, go towards what you want, take it, get it. You want to eat something, you want to have pleasure of something. But gradually, if you want to go back, okay. You have to, first of all, you have to put aside your will. When you go back to God, you have to do away with, first of all, your will. And this is the degree of reza or content. When you do away with your will, then you are content with whatever comes by God or from God. And of course, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. If you give away your own will, then your will is will of God. And so whatever you want, you have it. Because that's will of God. And God is, of course, the way that whatever He wants, He has it. And you, if your will is a symbol of His will, that whatever you want, you have it. And this Radwanum min Allah Akbar, which is in the paradise, of course, that Radwan, that contentment which you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the greatest pleasure. Then he says something very interesting. He says, of course, we'll come through this later on as well, but he says, خَازَنُ الْجَنَّةِ مَلَكٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ رَضْوَانٌ. The angel in charge of paradise is an angel which is called Radwan. It means you cannot enter it without being content with the will of God. Thus you have to put aside your own will and assume the will of God to enter. And that's Khazan, that's the treasurer. Now this is very interesting. It means in Jannah there are lots of treasures, full of treasures. And the key to it is contentment. You do away with your will, go and use whatever you want. Now, you might say, if you don't have any will, what do you mean whatever you want? No, you are given a greater will, a will which is everlasting, which is connected to the will of God. And that's why you can go there and use that treasure. And that's why the Ridwan would allow you to enter. Now, what's the name of the angel which is in charge of hell? Who knows? Malik. Owner. وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكُ. It's in the Quran, isn't it? لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. Oh Malik, your Lord should finish us. Now, why Malik? Because people in hell are all slaves of that angel. They're bound. Okay, they don't have any will. They can't have any will. Because, well, he explains why. I don't want just to go ahead of him. He explains why they can't have any will. Here, people are given utter free will. Why? Because the will which is against the will of God is gone away. Now, the will is in direction of the will of God. And therefore, whatever they want, if you remember, we talked about this hadith that at some point in Jannah, an angel would bring a letter to the people of Paradise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, written Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, من الحي الذي لا يموت. من الحي القيوم الذي لا يموت. This is a letter from the living, the sustainer, who never dies, إلى الحي القيوم الذي لا يموت. To the living, the sustainer, who never dies. The same parallel, isn't it? On the same position. And then it says that, I am the Lord. And when I want something, I say be and it is. And from today, when you want something, you say be and it is. Because we are the same thing. Not the same thing, our will is the same thing. Okay, now, he says, okay, if you do away with your will, you come to Rida, then of course, you have whatever you want in paradise. Next, you have to do away with your power. You remember, power was before the will. Now, what do you mean, do away with your power? To know that you don't have power. It's the power of God that you are using, isn't it? And this is tawakkul. Tawakkul doesn't mean that you just sit down and wait for God to do things. No, that whatever you do, you know that this is not you. This is Him. This is His mercy. This is His power that you are using. And of course, this is the meaning of the verse, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever relies on God, knowing that the power is with Him, of course God is going to have Him through. And then you have to do away with your knowledge. What do you mean do away with your knowledge? It means that you submit to the Lord, that you don't know anything. He is the knowledgeable, the knower. And it is He who gives you the knowledge. Now, to to understand these, of course this is very complicated, very deep. To understand these, I really advise you to read this book, The Niche of Light. This is very, very enlightening in giving meaning to these verses about tawakkul, about submission to God. And of course he brings the verse wa yusallimu taslima. You have to submit completely. You remember the hadith we mentioned from Amir al-Mu'minin, he said that al-muthalathatu ashbar, knowledge is three spans. The first span, when you learn it, you become arrogant. The second span, when you learn it, you become humble. The third span, the final span, when you learn it, you know that you don't know. You know that there is no knowledge. It's all depending on him. And you submit completely. This is of course the type of submission of Ibrahim. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord said, submit. And he said, I submit. Now this is a type of submission like that. Then of course, you have to do away with your existence. You remember we said about fana. Okay? You have to do away with your existence and you come to unity. Wahdat. You know that the existence only belongs to God. Now of course this brings that theory of wahdat of wujud and other issues which I said very complicated. Okay? But you should know that your existence is a light of his existence. You do not exist really. So, if you come to this position, this is of course the position of أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. This is a very ordinary position. Now, when you have this will, power, knowledge and existence done away with, then Allah give you new will, new power, new existence and new knowledge. And in this way, in paradise, what you will find is, you will find ultimate contentment, that is the rida that you have. You will find unrestricted power, because whatever power we have is restricted and limited. But if you are now drawing on the power of God, you are tapping on power of God, that's not restricted at all. You can do whatever you want to do. Because now you are completely joined with that power. And you have now innate knowledge, because God would give you that knowledge. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, and that knowledge would shine in you. Now you don't have any knowledge from yourself, that knowledge would shine in you, and in paradise it is as though you know everything. And also everlasting existence. You did away with your own limited existence, now you have everlasting existence. ذَلَكَ يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ. Now let's go to the verses about hell. Now this is what I wanted to actually to bring up here. Yes.
But this, what you just mentioned, was referred to those who reach fana in this world, that they be at that level.
No, we reach that anyhow, later on, inshallah. Well, this is a very good point, that not everyone can do this, isn't it?
But those who do, get to fana, level fana, is this their station then?
This is their station, but eventually all of us who go to paradise, inshallah, have to have this. And that's why shafa'ah is there to take us. And gradually, when we think deeper about all this, we would come to understanding that without the shafa'ah, it is impossible to enter paradise. It is impossible, because this is not our level. This is a level which needs someone quite huge to take us there. Yes.
How does that reconcile with the thing that you were saying before, that whoever's blind in this world will be blind in the next world? If we're going to keep going and reach this level of fana, that's not being blind where you've just been blind in this world.
Yeah. Well, blind, that blindness is the blindness of kufr. If you have that light of iman, a little bit in you, that would help you. And that would take you. And that light of iman, this light is very important, which is mentioned in the Quran. And again, I come to this, the niche of light, which is a very important book. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. You see that on the day, on that day, the mu'minun and mu'minat have a light which would go ahead of them and on their right hand side. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمَمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. They know that with that type of light, they cannot get into paradise. It's impossible. They have a light, okay, but that light is not complete. They need completion. And they say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمَمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَأَحْسَنْ لَنَا. Forgive us, so that we could come. And of course, in the previous verse, Allah said, يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The day that God would not humiliate the Prophet and those who have belief in Him. And how, what is the meaning of humiliating the Prophet? It means those who have said Muhammad, peace be on him, and those who have followed him, they go to hell. Isn't it? That's humiliation for the Prophet, isn't it? He has done nothing wrong, isn't it? He is perfect. But those who believe in him, if they go to hell, that's humiliation for him. So he said, يَوْمَ لَا يُخْذِ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبَأَيْمَانِهِمْ. A light would go ahead of them. So, yes, the Prophet would complete it. But if there is no light whatsoever, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ مَا الْمُنَافِقَاتِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انْظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورَكُمْ. Munafiqun and Munafiqat will say, wait for us, we take some light from you. So, Munafiqun and Munafiqat have no light whatsoever. But those who have some light, it would be completed. Because Allah is not going to humiliate the Prophet. And Prophet is going to do shafa'ah for all these people. Now, let's look at what happens in hell. Now, should a person move not in that way? What happened? Okay, he said you have to move in that way. This would come into completion either in this world or in the next world. You go through it anyhow, either voluntarily or involuntarily, a mu'min should go through this process to get into paradise. However, now, if you don't go through it voluntarily in this world, then you have difficulty in Barzakh, in the resurrection day. You have lots of fears, lots of difficulty that you come across. Okay? But if you have completed this here, then you are from those mentioned in Surah Anbiya, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. Those for whom we have written good before coming to the next world, then of course they are completely far away from whatever goes there. The fear, the fight, the quarrel, the judgment, the nizam, the sirat, no, they're not passing through those issues. They're completely away from it. أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا وَهُمْ فِي مَشْتَهَتْ أَنفُسُهُمْ خَالِدُونَ. When people are frightened from that فَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرِ, these people لَا يَحْزُنُهُمُ الْفَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرِ, that's the great fear of the Day of Judgment, would not affect them if they have completed it here. Now, if they haven't completed it here and they have Iman, they go to the next world. Of course, they have to go through that process so that they lose their will, they see that there is no power but power of God, they see there is no life but life of God, they do away with all those, and then they enter paradise. There are things that should come out of our hearts before we enter paradise, isn't it? وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غَلٍّ. Still, mu'minun, when they go to the other world, there is ghal, there is that sort of grudge or envy or jealousy in the heart about others. This should come out, otherwise you cannot go to paradise. And Allah says, we will bring this out. Eventually we will bring this out. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غَلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلٍ. Now, should a person move not in that direction, what happens? First of all, their wills are opposed. Well, they have a will and Allah has a will. Now, whose will is going to win? Now, they go there with their own wills. And Allah's will, of course, is not going to follow their will. Why? Because وَلَوْ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَحْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. If God wanted to follow their wills, the whole universe, the whole skies, heavens and earth would have been destroyed. Because, I mean, the wills of people are vicious. Especially the wills of kuffar are vicious. So, certainly, they are not, they go with those wills, they cannot put it aside. They cannot see will of God overruling their will. So what happens? They are always in torment. Why? Because as God mentions in the Quran, therefore, because God cannot follow their will, what happens? وَحِيلَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَشْتَهُونَ. They will be barred from their wills. They always will something. And it's terrible, isn't it? You want something to come to. This is the situation of people in the hell. They want something. It is as if they are chained. They cannot do anything. As if they are chained. Now they are chained in a chain, the length of which is 70 cubits. Of course, because of the length of the wings that they have. And they are chained by that. Now, and they will deserve the wrath of God because they all the time will against the will of God, and therefore they deserve the wrath of God. So it says, "Kaman ba'a bisakhatin min al-afa min al-taba'a rizwan Allah." You see, this is the contrast between people of hell and people of paradise. "Afa min al-taba'a rizwan Allah." We said rizwan is for paradise. "Kaman ba'a bisakhatin min Allah." Is the one who follows the Rizwan, the pleasure of God, the same as the one who follows, who returns to wrath of God. Because his will always opposes the will of God. And certainly the will of God is going to overrule their wills. So this is one torment in hell. Now, the other, he is therefore chained and is a slave of the Malik of the hell. That Malik actually holds them and holds their wills, isn't it? Because, of course, if their wills are going to be realized, then everything would go into pieces. So Malik holds them as a slave, as Suleiman held the jinn as slaves. He didn't let them to disobey and to go over the limits. He would chain them and he would keep them there. He doesn't let them to follow their wills, because those wills would destroy the creation. This is one thing. Also in the hell, what happens? They are helpless. Khadlan. They don't have any power. Since they have lost their own power, and they do not have tawakkul to use power of God. Because tawakkul means you use power of God. Now, when you go to the reality of, you see that there is no power that could. Here also we are using the power of God, but we do not realize it. If we realize it, when we go to the other world, it's very easy for us. We know how to use power of God. Now, if we all the time think that this is our power you are using it, when you go to the other world, you see that there is no power there. You have no power, and you don't know how to use power of God. Because you don't have tawakkul. You don't know how to use power of God. And therefore, what happens? They are left helpless. وَأَنْ يَحْظُنْكُمْ. If God does not help you, leaves you helpless. فَمَنْ دَلَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And instead of taslim, they have humiliation, hawan. Why? Because they thought that they have knowledge, and there they see that they are dumb, deaf, and blind. They have no knowledge of that. So they are in hawan, in humiliation. فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. Today you will taste, you will be given the punishment of humiliation. You will be humiliated today. because you were arrogant in the other world. So, وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرَمٍ. Whoever got humiliated, there is no one who could give dignity to him. So there is no dignity for them in hell as well. And instead of unity, wahda, with God, or not wahda in the sense that they become one with God, but they use the will of God, they use the power of God, they use the knowledge of God, instead of God, that they get la'na. La'na means separation. Isn't it? La'na means separation. They have separation from God. And what happens, of course, ula'ika yal'anuhumullah wa yal'anuhumul la'inun. God would curse them to go away from Him. And the angels would curse them to go away from the mercy of God. Because they cannot use it. If they use it because they have their own will, they cannot use it. Now, whatever you can think about Jahannam in many different ways. But let's think about it in this way. It is not a punishment which is brought to you by God. God doesn't want to revenge. There's no one that God wants to take revenge from. Because there's nothing else in this world that God wants to take revenge from them. It's all His creation. It's all His mercy coming. Now, the only thing is that you somehow put yourself in a situation that you do not deserve to use the power of God, the will of God, the knowledge of God. And so, when you go back towards Him, you have come in this way, when you go back towards Him, you take all these wrongs with you, vile things with you. And then, of course, you are separated from God. And that separation will bring all those torments. Now, you might say that, what about the fire of hell? Those punishments, eating thorny plants, drinking hot water. Of course, it's all true. In what sense? Can anyone tell me? How, if this is an interpretation of hell, given by a great, great scholar like Haji Nasiruddin, what does it mean then? Yes.
Whatever nourishment you have is not nourishing. Whatever you have is not refreshing. That's what it means then.
Why? Why shouldn't they have? Although they are completely separate from God, they cannot use their own wills and the will of God, they do not know what it is. And they cannot use knowledge of God, and they have no knowledge themselves. But why their physical life should be so terrible?
Well, again, as you say, it's not that it becomes terrible on them. It's that they don't have the capacity to be refreshed by it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the capacity to be nourished by it. And therefore it's like that for them. It's not that something is given to them. But they cannot benefit from it.
They cannot benefit. Yeah?
Could it be that the inner state of suffering is equivalent as if they were in this world doing nothing?
As if...
You know, as if they were drinking boiling water in this world, or suffering they were encountering, that their inner state could be like that in hell.
It is as if, you mean. It is as if they are drinking boiling water. Well, it's very difficult to do away with the literal meaning as well. They are really drinking boiling water. But there's another interpretation there. You see, there's the hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadr, which is a very important hadith. You find it, the meaning of it you find everywhere. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the mulk, alam al-shahada, as an example of His malakut. Ala misal malakut. So in Barzakh, in malakut, you have images, you have things which, when they materialize in a material way in this world, they find different qualities. And of course, he created His malakut ala misal jabarut. Now, you have a meaning in jabarut that would materialize in a different way in malakut, and it materialized in a different way in alamul mulk, alamul shahada. Now, fire here, for example, the burning of fire here, It is burning of fire, but if you look at it in Alamul Malakut, it is something else. The Quran gives the example of those who devour the property of the orphans. It says they are eating fire. Okay. Now, when you look at it in Malakut, it's like that. When you look at it in Jabarut, it's like something else. They're all very related closely. So, when you opt for the wrath of God, in the Malakut of people of hell, it is as is mentioned here. But in the mulk of it is fire. It materializes like that. They are quite related to each other. So they are there. There's a very nice example given to by Ghazali in this Niche of Life. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. He says that Prophet saw Abdul Rahman ibn Auf in his dream, or in a mushahid, a mukhashafa, that he was crawling towards paradise. And he says, well, what's the meaning of this dream that Prophet saw? Because Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, the companion of the Prophet, was very rich. Then he says that, yes, of course, rich people cannot go easily to paradise. They have to crawl towards paradise. Is what Prophet actually, the concept that he saw, yes, there are lots of hisab there for rich people. So Abdul Rahman could not easily go to paradise. Now, if that comes to Alam al-Shahada, it means that you can see as if paradise is on a hill and someone is crawling to go there very slowly. He said he saw the right thing, but that right thing in Malakut has another meaning, another realization. In Jabarut has another realization. And that's why you have parallel meanings. And that's why in dream you see something, the interpretation is something else. Both of them are right. Both of them are real. But they belong to different worlds. And of course you have all these Malakut, Mulk, Jabarut together here, there, in paradise, in hell. And so everything is somehow appropriate to its otherworldly example and being and realization. Now, let's finish this. Therefore, as opposed to the people of Jannah, the people of hell would have, instead of ultimate contentment, they have utter dissatisfaction. Instead of ultimate unlimited power, they have unlimited helplessness. They cannot do it. Instead of inborn knowledge, they have utter ignorance. Summun bukmun umyun fahum la aqilun. And instead of eternal existence, they have eternal non-existence. Now, you might say, what do you mean non-existence? They exist, yes. But Quran says that's not like existence. Summa la yamutu fiha. They do not die, of course, but they do not live. It's not, you can't call it life. And you can't call it death. It's something in between. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. So, this is what I mean by insightful understanding of the verses of the Quran. Not just sticking to the very literal meaning. Of course, literal meaning is there. But there are deeper layers, which I call mystical interpretation. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى طاهرين. So those of you who want to take exams, inshallah, you look at those sample questions, and I don't think I would give any question out of these samples, and you will get two questions, and you have to write about 500-600 words for each question. And then, of course, there's coursework and PowerPoint presentation, which, of course, should go with it.